future lay out there in the bullpen?
This is the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Who let those guys up here?
Well, well, well. How the turntables.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Hour two of the bullpen kicks off right now. Andrew Carlson, myself, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes with you today. We got one more hour left here today on the bullpen. We won't be on next week because of Aggies basketball, but I believe after that we'll be on pretty regularly here Saturdays noon to two with you on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. We spent most of the last hour, actually all of the last hour, talking Texans and Colts, and we will get back to some of that conversation coming up next segment. But I wanted to take a quick diversion over to the Houston Rockets and talk about what's been going on with them recently, because I think that because of how little the Houston Astros have done in their offseason, that is the second most interesting thing going on right now with Houston sports, because the Astros have just provided us absolutely zero content. But the Houston Rockets, who had basically, I think, all season, other than the 0-3 start, have been in a kind of a playoff spot, a play-in spot. But they've hit the skids a little bit here, and I'm going to skip over the Gilbert Arenas conversation for now, save that for the second half of this. And let's start with the Rockets and T-Wolves game last night. So the Rockets, who had been really good at home. I don't remember exactly what their record is. I know they've had a couple losses. They lost to the Hawks at home a few weeks ago, but overall their win-loss record at home is really good. Unfortunately, last night they ran into a T-Wolves team that beat them by 27 and outscored them by 15 in the fourth quarter. Now, the Rockets were without Dylan Brooks and Tari Eason, so there is, you know, a little asterisk, I guess, if you will, to put on that game. But how much is this loss and maybe some of the other losses at home recently damaged your confidence a little bit about this Rockets team, Sean?
Not too much. They are 14-6 at home, by the way, 3-10 on the road are your Houston Rockets. And this one, like you said, with Dylan Brooks and Tari Eason both out against, this might surprise some folks in their cars this morning or this afternoon, the number one seed in the West, Minnesota Timberwolves.
I knew they were like top four. I knew they'd been really good recently. But I didn't. They're the number one seed.
25-9.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, okay.
That's better than I thought. Yeah, I did not think they were the number one seed. I thought they were top half, but not number one.
Yeah, and so the Rockets really have recently kind of performed at a level like basically perfectly at the 9 or 10 seed in the West, where when they play the 76ers, when they play, I mean, the Suns are also down there with them, but I think the Suns are full strength for that game. They lose. They lose against the Hawks and Cavs and the Bucks, but then they beat the Nets, the Pistons, the Pelicans. Like, they beat the teams that they're supposed to. They make the easy putts. They miss the hard ones.
Yeah, and you know, that's actually kind of refreshing coming off a season where the Houston Astros made no sense because they lost all their games at home and blamed it on the batter's eye. So at least the Rockets are doing what we expect them to do by being a good team at home and bad on the road. But
I think we talked about this last time we had a show where they're number 9 in the West, but underneath them are the Warriors and Lakers.
Yeah.
And
we expect those teams. Now, I know Charles Barkley said the Warriors were done, but I think most people still expect the Warriors and the Lakers to give a little push.
I still expect it, but now it would not be shocking to me, and I can't tell you which one of them it falls behind, like doesn't pass the Rockets.
Right.
But it wouldn't shock me if one of these teams stay in the 10 or 11 spot, just because at this point in the season, like, we're already 30-something games into the season.
Yeah, you're starting to figure out who these teams are.
And you look at the Warriors, the best players, 34-year-old, 35-year-old Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if he gets hurt, like, if he misses any time, they're done.
Yeah,
Lakers, their only two good players are Anthony Davis and LeBron James. If they miss any time, and they haven't missed any time so far this year, they're kind of...
And you know they're due because Anthony Davis is...
So you can start squinting your eyes and seeing a way that, you know, one of these teams might just have a disaster of the year that benefits the Rockets.
So, Andrew, I mean, when you're looking ahead to see, like, okay, can the Rockets stop this bleeding? By the way, they have the Milwaukee Bucks tonight, so good luck with that. That'll be a tough, tough way to get back on the winning track. But so they're 17-16 right now, still in a play-in spot if the playoffs were to start today, but a lot of season left. And after the Bucks game tonight, which definitely could drop them to 500 at 17-17, they then go out on a six-game road trip where they've, as Sean pointed out, believe only have, what, three wins on the road all season long,
yes,
is what you said? So are you a little bit worried, Andrew, right now about a possible slide coming from the Houston Rockets and maybe some of this early season optimism with them being in a playing spot starting to get a little more difficult as the season goes on?
Not particularly. And maybe my lack of worry just comes from the fact that this team has already sort of outpaced the expectations I had for them. So the fact that we're even having this conversation makes me really happy. In some ways, it's analogous to what the Texans are doing, where I know that nobody wants to hear this, but even if they lost today, 2 weeks from now, we're still going to be really, really impressed with the season that they put together. And I think that that's probably the situation we're going to end up with the Rockets having a few months down the road, where with Ime Udoka and the development of Şengün and the rest of the roster, maybe minus Jalen Green, you're going to be really happy with everything that has happened, regardless of how the season eventually ends up panning out. And this team has risen to the occasion more than I expected them to already. So it would not shock me if they stole a game from the Bucks here tonight. Obviously, second night of a back-to-back, it's going to be tough. But I would expect their road performances to tick up eventually. I don't know what it is, but I would guess that there's going to be some level of a return to the mean, so to speak, where maybe they're not a damn near unbeatable team at home, and maybe they can't just, for whatever reason, win on the road. You're probably going to see a return to the mean or aggression to the mean in some capacity in the near-term future here.
Yeah, I mean, so they have their Milwaukee game tonight. Then on Monday, they start this
six-game road trip. Now, not all those teams on the road are good teams. Like, the Pistons are included in that.
Yeah, Miami, Chicago, Pistons, and then Boston, Philly, New York. I don't know.
A lot of those are tough.
Yeah.
Those are some tough games in there.
Those are tough. Like, probably four out of six are pretty tough games. Hopefully you steal one of them. But also with a coach like Ime Udoka, and to speak to what Andrew was saying about this team being ahead of schedule, at least seeming ahead of schedule, is that I do have a belief that this team will get better as the year goes on, too. Like, this is not just a young team that got out to a hot start and then will start to slide back to where our preseason expectations were for them. I do think that this is a team that can continue to progress, continue to take steps forward, like we've seen Şengün take. I'm not ready to put a ceiling on how high he can get this season. The same thing with Jabari Smith, who's taken a much smaller step, but is also taking a step forward. So I do think that this team can, even as they maybe start to plateau or become more of a normal, reach expectations, I still think that they can improve.
Let's stick with that. We'll save Gilbert Arenas maybe for things we love. Let's stick with the idea of expectations and how that's changed from the start of the season. I think the goal for all of us coming into the season, like, let's see if they can win 35-plus and make a playing game. Yeah, respectable. And now this harkens back to something Joe George on the bullpen, the night version, said months ago. I don't remember exactly. He's walked it back a little bit since then. But kind of the idea for the Texans, how it started with, man, well, let's hope they can win 6-7 games, to where he had reached the point where if they don't make the playoffs, it'll be a disappointment, which is a stark difference from where we were start of the season. Where are we with the Rockets? Because obviously, we were, like you said, we were talking about, can the Rockets be respectable? Can they win 35-plus and maybe make the 10 seed? Versus now they've kind of been around that 8 seed, several games above 500 until recently, for about the last month or so. Are your expectations still just 35 wins respectable, or have they been elevated to where if they don't maybe get to, say, 40 wins in the 8 seed, that you'd be disappointed?
I think the expectations have shifted a little bit to, like, high 30s to 40. And then I wouldn't say,
like, if they don't make a play-in game, would you be disappointed?
A little bit disappointed. I would phrase it as the play-in is like a attainable goal for the Rockets. That should be their goal for the season, and I feel like is attainable for them. Now, they might still fall short of it, but I do think that, you know, it's, I don't know, probably still a 50-50 chance, like, and which is way higher than it was 2 months ago. So I do overall, I do think I have risen my expectations.
Yeah, I'm in lockstep with you there, Sean, where it's no longer like a standard that needs to be met necessarily, or it's not yet a standard that needs to be met, I should say, but it's very much a realistic goal for the team now. And if they continue to improve it, like organically and internally, the way that they have up to this point in the season through 35 odd games, then it shouldn't be all that crazy to say that that's something that they're going to be capable of doing. I think a lot of it's going to come down to, what are you getting out of Jalen Green for the remaining 40-odd games of the season, right? Because at this point, we know what we're getting from Alpi. He's going to be great. We know that Fred VanVleet's going to be a steady, consistent presence. It's going to be, can Jalen Green turn these inconsistencies where some nights he looks like that future star, other nights when his shot's not falling, he's just going through the motions. Defensively, he's not there anymore, and he's just simply a net negative on the court. Like, can he turn those inconsistencies from a seemingly 50-50 coin flip, whether or not he's going to, you don't know what version of Jalen Green you're going to get, into, hey, 60% of the time, 70% of the time, we're getting the good Jalen Green versus the bad one.
Yeah, just,
I think we're going to, I think I know where you're going, and I'm going to cut you off to make the point for you and let you expand, because this is something you mentioned to me yesterday, how Jalen Green always seems to have his good games and no one's going to talk about it. And they're playing tonight when no one's going to talk about it, because the Texans and Colts basically have a playoff game tonight, and tomorrow's Sunday, so no one's going to be on. So book a Jalen Green good game tonight.
He had a pretty good game last night, a Friday news dump of a good game. But I think overall with Jalen Green, just to kind of quickly put a bow on the Jalen Green conversation, because every Rockets conversation turns into a 20-minute long Jalen Green conversation.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Just to be the change I want to see in the world, I think what Andrew was saying is right, that Jalen Green's, the highs are still there. It's just, we just need to raise the floor on what a bad game is for Jalen Green. We need to avoid these absolute disaster games happening once or twice a week. Like, we just, that is what the Rockets need, and they can 100% get to the goals that we're setting out of making the play-in if Jalen Green just improves just a little bit, not even improves the top side of his performances, but just improves the bottom side of his performances.
Yeah, the valleys can't be as deep as they have been for the – yeah, because you just basically – like, he doesn't have to be – and we'll get to break here in a second. But he doesn't have to be the best player on the floor every night. That can be some nights, you know, Alpi, obviously. It could be Dylan Brooks. It could be whoever. He just can't lose you the game is all you're really asking for at this point, to maybe smooth out some of those inconsistencies. All right, we got to get to break here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 when we get back. A little more Texans conversation about their game against the Colts tonight, and something asked by a media member here in the city of Houston: if the Texans win this game tonight, would it be their biggest win in franchise history? We'll discuss that next on the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
Women bathing their dogs, you know, in cut off jeans and t-shirts and with the soap, and you know how it gets all wet and in the water.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, you're back inside the Bullpen with the producers from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Wait, who let those guys up here? Security? That's them right there. Right there.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome back in. Before we get into the Texans conversation, a little bad for Andrew there. Sean and I kind of subjected him to our crazy Longhorn fandom.
Yeah.
Talking about a quarterback competition for a quarterback just led the Longhorns to a national semifinal and damn near reached the national title game.
Yes. Jadeveon Sanders is officially declared for the draft, Texas tight end. And so we just naturally went into looking ahead to next season, and we just mentioned open competition.
I don't know, man.
I'm just saying,
Arch,
you just got to win your spot. Everyone on this roster has to win their spot.
Andrew, would it be fair to say you were disgusted with Sean and I during the break?
Yes, just because of the fact that you were just in a national semifinal.
No, no entitlement in this program, all right?
Iron sharpens iron, Andrew. You got to win your spot every day.
Yeah, good luck with that.
All right, let's get back into the Texans-Colts conversation. And this was a question from Will Kunkel, who replaced the legend Mark Berman at Fox. He asked this in I guess it was a live news report. There was video of it, but it was a live news report for Fox. And he asked the question, if the Texans beat the Colts in a do-or-die game for the playoffs, will that be the biggest win in franchise history? And my immediate reaction is no, but the fact that I did have a little bit of pause or a little bit of, like, the wheels turning, just trying to think, of, am I missing anything here? I think lets you know about how few moments of grandeur and just momentous joy that the Texans have had in their franchise history. But, I mean, quickly we'll go around to Andrew. Let's start with you. If the Texans win tonight, I have a feeling you'll say it's not the biggest win in franchise history, but where would it rank to you? What would it mean for looking at the all-time Texans franchise?
It would not be the biggest just because it's not the first playoff game. It's not the first game against the Cowboys, which personally I was too young to really understand, let alone remember. But for a lot of people in the city, the Texans beating the Cowboys, that was a massive moment. And that being said, though, I really do think it would probably be top five for me, maybe in the back end of that, just because there were some playoff wins in the Bill O'Brien era where I didn't even feel good about it.
The Raiders
won.
That was Connor Cook, right? That was the quarterback for the Raiders. It's like the Texans didn't even look good with – it was Brock Osweiler under center winning that game, but it was, you know, somebody had to win it, and they had Connor Cook under center, so – you know?
Yeah, their third-string quarterback. I can't remember who the backup was, but Derek Carr got hurt earlier in that season. Yeah, like, the Texans have four playoff wins in their history. And I heard this conversation as people were discussing it throughout the week when this question got raised by Will Kunkel from Fox. And of their four playoff wins, there's only one of those playoff wins that I would actually put ahead of the Texans winning tonight.
Bengals?
The very first one against the Bengals, the J.J. Watt pick six, Andre Johnson and Arian Foster, who had suffered through some bad seasons for the Texans, both had, well, Andre obviously more than Arian. Arian is his second season.
Yeah, they kind of got good once Arian
exactly.
Showed up.
But, you know, they all kind of had their big games at once. And it was, you know, as 2011 season, the franchise had started in 2002. You'd waited a long time for that moment. I think that is clearing away the top moment. And I would put from that same season, T.J. Yates winning in Cincinnati to get the Texans the touchdown pass to Kevin Walter to get them into the playoffs the first time. I think those are 1 and 1A or 1 and 2. But the second playoff win over the Bengals, Matt Schaub throws a pick six in that game. They won like 13-10. It was a nothing game. The win against the Bills.
It was fun.
It wasn't that all. They played horrible in the first half.
It wasn't impressive in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it was not an impressive win. And as you guys have mentioned, the Raiders game beating their third string quarterback, that's not all that impressive either. So I think you could definitely make, I think Andrew, you said tonight would be top five. I think you can make an argument for top three. Where are you at, Sean?
I mean, you can make an argument for third.
Yeah, yes, for third, yes. Because,
which is top three, but it is third.
Right. Both are true, but yes. Important context.
And it's the best win in franchise history that didn't come against the Bengals.
There you go.
It's a chance for that. No, I think we named most of the big ones. I think this would be especially big just because, A, it's more dramatic than a lot of the other Texans playoff clinchers. Like, this would be the most dramatic of them because it's a division rival last week of the season.
It's kind of like a buzzer beater of a game.
Yeah. So win, you're in, lose, you're out. And I think another element is that it feels very big because it feels like this is the start of something. And it is the start of something of the C.J. Stroud era, the D'Amico Ryans era of Texans football that we believe is going to be filled with, I mean, hopefully a lot bigger games than this one that can knock this one off the spot. A lot of wins that can knock this game off the spot, wherever we're going to put it, you know, probably third, four, five in this.
So the opposite of what the Bills one was for the Deshaun Watson era.
That grand, I think we were grand opening, grand closing.
I think a lot of us would say the same thing about that win against the Bills for Deshaun Watson. Like, well, not the Bill O'Brien part. Like, if you're grouping in the coach, and we wouldn't have said that about Bill O'Brien. But that was like, okay, the Texans have their quarterback. Here's the because his Deshaun Watson's first playoff game that we got killed by the Colts. But that first playoff win with our franchise quarterback, this is the first step in getting to where Dabo Sweeney promised us and that the Michael Texans Jordan were going to win a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson. That didn't turn out very well. But, yeah, I definitely think we would have said that about the Bills game. It didn't turn out to be true. But I definitely feel better about this potentially being the first step for the Texans getting to where they've never been before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of Sean's point a little bit, not only is this the start of the D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud era, but the connection that the franchise and the city has with this quarterback and head coach just feels entirely different than anything you had under Bill O'Brien.
Yeah,
and I think that matters. Like, I legitimately think it matters, the fact that Bill O'Brien tried to suck the soul out of football in the city of Houston. And... yeah. Sorry, Sean. I don't know what kind of visual that just gave you, but Sean is
that, that tickled Sean.
Sucked the soul out of it. I don't know if he's a Dementor or if he's on OnlyFans with that.
Maybe both. But yeah, like the connection the city has and is going to continue to build with D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud just feels so much different than anything we ever had under Bill O'Brien. And I'm sorry, but that means those wins, for me at least, are going to mean more because it's going to be D'Amico Ryans, one of our own, at the helm.
Yeah, no, I definitely think there's a big part of that. Like, part of what gives you satisfaction in a win is being able to root for and be happy for the people that got it.
Yeah.
Like, you feel really good for D'Amico Ryans. Like, I felt good in 2019 when the Texans beat the Bills, but I didn't feel good for Bill O'Brien because I wanted him gone.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien has, like, a very good case to be the best coach in Texans history, and every Texans fan cannot wait.
It's him or Kubiak. I mean, yes. That's really the only conversation.
And every Texans fan cannot wait for D'Amico Ryans to take that spot from him.
1,000%.
Honestly, if he wins today, next week, he might already take it in 1 year. So I that is a good point as far as the city wants to get behind this team. The city did not want to get behind Bill O'Brien.
He was a hard man to love, and I never reached the point of loving having him as a Texans head coach.
Him.
Yeah, exactly. So one more quick thing before we get into break and get to the award-winning, groundbreaking segment, Mount Rushmore Plus One. Now, there's one small caveat to this. There is a chance the Texans could face Miami, but it would take, I believe, a tie in the Miami-Buffalo game. So very unlikely. It's on the table, but very unlikely. So the Texans win this game today against the Indianapolis Colts and make the playoffs. Basically, the three opponents would be either hosting Cleveland at home in the first round or going to Buffalo or to Kansas City. I feel like this is an obvious choice, but I know a lot of people are very down on how the Chiefs have played. Obviously, Josh Allen for the Bills has been a turnover machine at times. Andrew, I'll start with you. If they win this game today, who do you want to see the Texans face in the wild card round?
I said this on Connor and Beard, and I'm going to remain consistent with it. I would like to see them face the Dolphins. I would like them to win. I would like the Jags to win the division, and I would like the Texans to be the 7th seed heading into Miami to take on the Miami Dolphins, just because of the fact that the Dolphins are banged up to a decent enough degree where I don't think their defense is really going to be all that capable of stopping you if you can get a couple of guys back healthy. And maybe you end up losing a shootout to a Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, Mike McDaniel team, but I think that would be a hell of a lot of fun to watch, and I think you would have a decent shot. As long as Patrick Mahomes is on a sideline, I do not want any part of the Chiefs, no matter how bad their offense looks. And the Browns are probably playing like the second or third best team in the league right now. So I don't want any piece of the Browns either. Maybe Joe Flacco, the glass slipper, finally falls off and he returns back to earth. But right now, with the way that they are rolling, I want no piece of the Browns. I don't care if it's at home.
I kind of want the Browns.
Yeah.
I want the home game. That is
for
part
me,
of it.
I want the Browns, and it's not even because of the home game. Like, to me, the Browns offers or beating the, like, if we're operating under the assumption, and that's obviously a massive assumption, but if you're operating under the belief that the Texans win their first game in the playoffs. I think that beating the Browns has the highest upside because not only are you advancing in the playoffs, but unlike what you would do against the Chiefs and the Bills, you're also improving your draft pick by advancing. You have the Browns pick and you'd be moving past them.
4D chess right there.
It is a little bit of 4D chess. Not only are you advancing, but you're also improving your draft pick. Plus, I mean, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Flacco. Like, I get the Browns have played really well. Amari Cooper went for damn near 200 against you a couple weeks ago.
Do it again. Do it in the playoffs.
Exactly. Do it again, boom. Amari Cooper. There but I would take the Browns in that scenario. All right. We got to get to break here. Coming up on the other side, it is our award-winning, groundbreaking, sports landscape-changing segment, Mount Rushmore Plus One, when we return on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com Tiger Friendly Radio.
He would take a picture of Carol and take her head and put it on the body of a man in a diaper.
Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon the monument and asked, what if we added one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 as I stumble on the call letters here for the station. But that's because I'm so excited to get to Mount Rushmore Plus One, the favorite segment of the week, where we take a look at a certain topic. And we don't just do a top five list. No, this is far more prestigious than that. This is a Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Because we're adding on to...
Yeah, we're adding on to... I mean, some radio hosts have done Mount Rushmore list, but that is beneath the standard here that we've set on the bullpen. So we instead do Mount Rushmore Plus One. Andrew, Sean, do either one of you want to lead off? Or what order should we go in?
I can lead off.
You can lead off? Sean, hit us. What is your Mount Rushmore Plus One this week?
This is in honor of the best college football game that was played this bowl season. I am, of course, talking about the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Not the Cheez-It Bowl?
Not the Cheez-It Bowl. It's the Mount Rushmore Plus One of Pop-Tart flavors.
Oh!
This is not brought to you by Kellogg's, by the way. Just in case you're wondering, this is not sponsored in any way.
Do you enjoy Pop-Tarts?
This is original. Probably can't eat.
I have had Pop-Tarts maybe once or twice in my life.
Yeah, see, I didn't peg you as someone who would be still eating Pop-Tarts, but I didn't know if as a kid maybe you were down with Pop-Tarts.
No, he was healthy.
Look, I'm Mr. Cereal for Dessert guy over here. Okay. I don't know if you guys have heard that
I think I have heard that before, yeah. All right,
This is disappointing.
This list might miss for Sean.
This
yeah.
for us.
Sorry, for Andrew, yeah.
This for us and the listeners, not Andrew. Leading off Mount Rushmore Plus One of Pop-Tart flavors for me, brown sugar cinnamon.
Yes.
Really just a basic.
I think it's my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, well, I don't want to say my other one, but because I don't want to possibly spoil, but that is definitely top two for me.
This to me is like it is a black suit. It just gets you there. You know, it is just it is meat and potatoes, except it's brown sugar shit. Next, about Rushmore Plus One of Pop-Tart flavors, cookies and cream. Cookies and cream might be up there as far as the one I've had the most. Because I went through a long cookies and cream phase.
It's not bad. It's not one I would... I wouldn't buy it unless the other ones I like are out.
Yes,
but
exactly.
It's good.
You're there and you're like, you know what? Let me just mix it up.
Yeah, it's good.
Strawberry. Best of the fruits. And
definitely.
Berries and
100%.
The ones that don't have marshmallow or chocolate in them.
Correct.
It's the best one where you can go, hey, there's something on this. This looks healthy-ish.
Healthy. Andrew, rate the healthiness of strawberry Pop-Tarts.
Zero.
Okay, all right. Next on your list.
Pull up the nutrition facts for me. Next on my list, this one is a must toaster. Must toast.
Oh, you can't eat
one.
This one right out of the box. Because, like, the brown sugar I can eat right out of the box.
Yes, this, and I think all of them that I've listed so far, you can. This one is on this list when you toast it, is off this list when you do not toast it, is the chocolate chip Pop-Tart.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I've had the chocolate chip one.
It's very good. Must toast.
Must toast
this one. And last but certainly not least, this is my favorite of the Pop-Tarts.
You want to say it 1, 2, 3? I think we're on. I bet we'll be on the same page.
S'mores?
S'mores, yes!
There we go.
Yes. Brown sugar. S'mores. Brown sugar and s'mores are the top two.
Yes.
100%.
S'mores is by far the best. I actually have the Pop-Tart website up. A lot of, I mean, Hot Fudge Sundae, other receiving votes. Regular frosted chocolate.
Are they one of those brands that, like, because you see this sometimes with like chips or Oreos,
frosted blueberry.
Like, when you find like the international versions, that they just have these wild ass flavors.
There was a chocolatey chip pancake Pop Tart that I cannot find in Houston because you can like search for location. I was like, this is interesting. Can't find it.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Yeah. All right, Andrew. Sorry to leave you out there in the Mount Rushmore plus one of Pop Tart flavors. Not in your weekly dietary regimen, but what do you got for your Mount Rushmore plus one?
This one is inspired by a friend slash close family member who asked me something this week. I will not name names. They will remain anonymous.
He went out of his way not to name names.
I just specifically didn't even say whether they were actually a friend or a family member. They're one of the two. And they might have asked me if I could get them tickets to the national championship game. Which
and?
Nope.
No, unless they've got $1,200 on hand, and then I can just go buy the tickets for them. That's not going to happen. So my Mount Rushmore plus one is things people ask of me because of the fact that I work for a sports radio station. So number one is going to be just that. Hey, can you get me tickets for this?
Impossible
no.
thing to get
tickets yeah.
for? No, I cannot.
We don't even get access to. How am I going to get that for you?
No, the best I can do is I can maybe get myself a media pass, and that is not going to get you into the building. So nope. I'm sorry. I cannot get you tickets for that. Now, if it's the Sugarland Space Cowboys, maybe we can be talking.
That we might be able to help out with. Yeah.
Might be able to help out with that.
You can throw out a first pit.
Hey, you know how it goes.
Number two. Better than BK did.
Someone who is completely clueless about anything related to sports asking me why something incredibly simple happened the way that it did. There is nothing.
I have those family members.
Nothing more annoying than you're watching a game. And then someone who has zero idea about sports just wants you to all of a sudden break down everything that is happening in that exact moment. Yeah. Just because they had some light bulb of curiosity pop off in their head.
What if they had incompletion? Like, how do I answer that question?
Yeah, or it's like a like very, like, you know, a lot of people argue about the analytics of this, but I know that like Aunt Carol isn't really ready for the for me to start dropping expected points here. So I'm just
on the punt or go for it scenario. Yes, yes.
Like Ben Baldwin's algorithm is 55% go for it. I don't think they want to hear that.
No, probably not.
Number three, who is winning tonight? I'm trying to add an extra leg to my lay.
Got to be a good friend there.
Bro douche talk.
You can be a good friend, but like if you were someone who is, and I feel like this happens in phases or cycles where people will just be betting on a more consistent basis, and they'll just like be constantly hitting you up for advice. And it's like, dude, this is some random college basketball game of two teams that I've never seen. I have zero insight on this whatsoever. He's like, yeah, but it's what's on the slate tonight. I don't care. I have zero insight on this. I'm sorry.
By the way, lay them.
I was going to go for I personally was going to go Rhode
never
Island.
Never bet against the Friars. Sean.
Never bet against the Friars.
Providence, not a bad call. Number four, fantasy football advice of guys that I have never heard of before. So, B-Mac, maybe you can be excluded from this conversation because you are a fantasy football expert. But, Sean, as the top two finishers in our producer league, you know, I feel like we can talk about
Wait,
this.
Wait, hold on. No. I got second.
Yeah, Sean with regular season.
Oh, come on.
You were 6-8.
No.
I eliminated
Sean from the playoffs. No, Thank you.
I am the LA Dodgers. You are the Arizona Diamondbacks. Continue.
But if someone's asking me about, like, should I start Tajay Spears or some other insert random running back here? And I'm
PPR?
Just like, I don't know, man. Just,
is this a 6-point touchdown league?
I don't know, and I frankly don't care. Yeah, like, just go manage your own damn fantasy team or call BMAC for advice. Don't call me.
Don't call BMAC.
No, everyone listening, if you have questions about your fantasy football
tweet
team,
BMAC, @BMAC on Twitter.
Yeah. There you go. At least I can ignore those better than a phone call.
And last but not least, on my Mount Rushmore plus one of things people ask for because I work in sports radio, contacts to people that I cannot and will not give out.
That is a very good one.
Yeah.
Yes. Do I have a phone number for a Joe Buck or a Warren Moon? Yes, I do. Will I give it to you? Absolutely freaking not.
Yeah, because those people will then never talk to us again.
They already barely talk to us. They will definitely never talk to us.
It's already hard enough for me to talk to them as is. I'm not going to try and make things harder.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good list. That was. I know the Pop-Tarts list was relatable for you, but that was very relatable for everyone.
All three of us.
Yeah, all three of us. That was nice. All right, my Mount Rushmore plus one. I started off, I told you guys during the break, this morning I had originally planned to do a list of the reasons why the Colts suck, but I transitioned to make it more timely, more topical for today's date, that being January 6th. And my Mount Rushmore plus one is of better anniversaries from January 6th. January 6th anniversaries that I'd rather...
I know the last one.
that I'd rather celebrate than, yes, the one you're thinking about. These things all happened on January 6th, and I'd much rather celebrate them. January 6th, 1912, New Mexico joins the Union, and without that, no Breaking Bad. So, shout out to January 6th, 1912.
Were there, like, crazy parties going off, BMAC, when that happened, or...?
Next one on the list, January 6, 2018, moving right past that. Thank you, Sean. The Raiders decided to bring John Gruden out of retirement. He was in the broadcasting booth for almost a decade, and they hired him again as their head coach. That is way more a reason for celebration than January 6, 2021. Yes, semi-related. This is something I'm glad, Sean, and it happened in 1951. I did not witness. Thank you, Sean. The Indianapolis Olympians beat the Rochester Royals in six overtimes. You ready for the score?
Yeah.
75-73.
In
basketball. Yes, basketball. Yeah, Rochester Royals later became, I think, the Cincinnati Royals, now they're the Sacramento Kings. But yeah, there was an NBA basketball game, and by the way, that of course is the record for the longest NBA game in history.
Now it's a third quarter score.
Yeah, exactly. Halftime sometimes. Yeah. 75-73 in six overtimes. I cannot imagine watching that game. My next one on my Mount Rushmore plus one of better January 6th anniversaries. Richard Hamilton set an NBA record on this day in 2005 by being the first player in NBA history to lead his team in scoring despite not making a single field goal.
Oh.
He went 0 for 10, scored 14 points, but led the Pistons in their 101-79 loss to the Memphis Grizzlies.
A record later broken 27 times by James Harden. Asterisks, I assume.
He definitely would be capable of doing that with as many times as he got to the free throw line, for sure. And my last January 6th anniversary, I'd rather celebrate than the one that happened in 2021. This was the date in 1994, Sean and Andrew, that Nancy Kerrigan was attacked by Tonya Harding's bodyguard. I would rather celebrate that momentous occasion than the January 6th, 2021. Sean, you all right over there?
Yeah, I mean, it is, again,
if you'd rather back the insurrection, by all means, Sean, take your platform right now.
Right. You know what? Let's go to commercial.
All right, one segment left here on the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. When we get back, we'll talk about the things we love from sports and the worst people in sports on the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dracula Flow.
I took two limitless pills to limit myself.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Glad to be back on the airs despite me bringing up January 6th. I could have gone a couple different ways, but glad to see we're back on here for one final segment.
We're all able to behave ourselves.
Yeah, we're all able to behave ourselves. I could have gone a number of different ways with that list. I thought about making a list of the hosts at the station that I most or least liked to January 6th with, but... That probably would have gone. Yeah, it's probably not a good idea to go down that. That would have been a rabbit hole that might have gotten me in trouble. But we got one segment left today on the Bullpen, and we'll be off next week because of an Aggies game in the same time slot. But then after that, should be, I think, fingers crossed, knock on wood, on most Saturdays, 12 to noon here with me, myself, Brian McDonald, and, of course, Sean Mapes and Andrew Carlson. So we will finish the show today in the time we have left, how we do every week, with our worst people in sports this week and the thing we love from sports this week. Sean, who is your worst person in sports this week?
The Texas A&M Aggies.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I'm sure there's got to be an explanation.
Yes. For immediate release, researchers warned that U.S. national security officials of secret dealing giving Qatar covert control over nuclear weapons development research at Texas A&M.
Wait.
ISGAP research exposes Qatar's undisclosed billion-dollar funding to Texas A&M in return for full Qatari ownership of over 500 research projects.
Wow.
Worst person in sports, Texas A&M, selling nuclear secrets to hire Mike Elko and to have a recruiting class.
Hold on. If Texas A&M has Qatari money, the best they could do is Mike Elko? I mean, the best they could do is Jimbo Fisher and that stupid little plaque?
The Qatari were able to buy a World Cup, but
Mike Elko is the best they could do.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, Aggies, that's, you got to ask more out of the deal. I mean, you get Qatari money, you give away nuclear secrets, and all you get is Mike Elko? God, man. All right, my worst person in sports this week, I'm sure everyone's heard it so far. I probably won't be breaking news to any of you, but Aaron Rodgers continues to be. I think if we had a retired numbers section for worst people in sports, Aaron Rodgers would certainly
Aaron
be.
Aaron Rodgers, Paul
his
Pierce.
Jersey would be on the rafter for worst person in sports.
Him and Paul Pierce, right?
Yeah. Well, that Paul Pierce would just be because of Josh.
Yes.
Like, I don't really have any problems with Paul Pierce other than him being carried off the court that one time. But yeah, Josh Evans certainly had some beef with Paul Pierce. But Aaron Rodgers, like, we know he's going to say some tinfoil hat sort of things about, you know, COVID or whatever conspiracy seems to. He seems to have front of mind at the time, but he went on a show that's paying him multiple millions of dollars in the Pat McAfee show, and apparently decided that was the time to speculate if Jimmy Kimmel, who you might guess he has a beef with, because Aaron Rodgers, as his teammates have pointed out, including Jermichael Finley, Hookem, have pointed out that Aaron Rodgers holds grudges unlike any other. And so he's apparently got some beef with Jimmy Kimmel and decided to go on the Pat McAfee show, again, a show that pays him millions of dollars to go on that show, and decided to speculate that Jimmy Kimmel might be on the Theo Epstein, or not Theo Epstein.
Like he's Kevin Youkilis?
The Theo Epstein list. Of potential free agents, yes. He wants to sign.
Yes.
That is
Jimmy Kimmel,
Daisuke Makuzaka, and
Stephen Hawking.
Oh my God! Oh, of all the Freudian slips,
Stephen Hawking and Bill Gates somehow on both lists.
Oh my God! The Jeffrey Epstein list. God, Jesus, Brian. So Aaron Rodgers speculated that Jimmy Kimmel might be on the Jeffrey Epstein list. And, I mean, that's bad enough as it is, but it's someone within their own company. I know I've lost Sean for the rest of the show. There's someone within their own
company. Joe Madden is on the Theo Epstein list. Oh, my God.
I don't know where to go with this.
Is Kevin Youkilis on the Theo Epstein?
Yeah.
Let's name random Red Sox now.
Dustin
Pedroia?
I used to love John Lester.
Shout out to Josh Beckett, also on the Theo Epstein list. But yeah, it's just, come on, man. Not only is it within the same company, ESPN and ABC, that you're throwing shots at Jimmy Kimmel, but Pat McAfee's your buddy. They're paying you millions of dollars, and this could be something that gets the show canceled if there's an intercompany lawsuit because you're slandering Jimmy Kimmel. Aaron Rodgers, you're the worst person in sports. I don't know if this show is completely off the rails in the final minutes, but Andrew, you're worst person in sports. Besides Theo Epstein, who's your worst person in sports this week?
So outside of Theo Epstein, it's going to be and there was a debate for me internally because I don't know if you guys saw the drama that Pat McAfee got into yesterday where he was calling out the higher-ups at ESPN.
My name, yeah.
That boy's standing on business.
He is standing on
business. But I'm going to go with Steve Kerr, and this is just the hater in me coming
Lifetime
out.
Lifetime achievement.
Oh, look. I don't
he
know
is,
if there's a
– He is, as your show would say, a soft-ass boy.
I don't know if there's a person in the city of Houston that is enjoying the Warriors' downfall more than I am. I despise that franchise. I hate every single player that has ever come through and walked through those doors of the Chase Center. And the fact that they are finally getting their comeuppance after all these years of dominance just makes me so, so happy. And Steve Kerr becoming a little salty MF-er as this happens just brings me such great pleasure and joy. He called a timeout just to bitch at Nikola Jokic during their game. And the fact that that happens and Steve Kerr is wasting timeouts because he is so rattled by his own lack of success. Oh, I don't know if I can properly express how happy it makes me.
And all this, and the Rockets are ahead of them in the Western Conference.
You're damn right, and that's the best part. I hope the Rockets are the one that drive the final nail into this Warriors coffin
at some point. I want him to know it was me.
I want Shengun to be the one.
I want to look in their eyes.
Yeah, look in my face as I kill you, Steve Kerr.
Because Lord knows all they've done is kill us for like 8 seasons in a row. Yeah. So but some payback would be nice.
Knocking them out of the play-in tournament would be nice.
Tell me that wouldn't be a fine, like an incredible final moment to this Warriors run.
Especially if it's the play-in tournament, too.
Like the 9-10 game. Yeah.
We've got Tar Eason, Alperen Şengün, and Cam Whitmore and Dylan Brooks out
Dylan
there.
Dylan Brooks blown kisses to the Chase like, Center crowd.
Like the new Mario Elliott kiss of death. Yes.
We put an end to their dynasty once and for all. Yes.
Oh, man. Thank you for keeping that together, Andrew, while I still was losing it over my gaff. I appreciate the professionalism there. Let's quickly go through the things we loved. Let's backstroke over to the Sea of Tranquility and talk about the things we loved. Let's go ahead and skip my audio because of we're running out of time. But I loved the pettiness or the willingness to take shots from Justin Fields in a question about the atmosphere at Green Bay, decided to not play it safe. We just say, oh, they got great fans. It'll be great atmosphere. They've got a lot on the line. No, he decided to say, yeah, there's nothing to do in Green Bay. So, of course, there's going to be a good atmosphere. Good on you, Justin Fields. Sean, what did you love from sports this week?
The thing I love from sports this week is the country of Turkey. I've just noticed how international.
Do they
I
have
am.
Internet in Turkey?
Yes, they do have internet. Well, let me double check with John Granato first. But they
Michael Connor.
They are putting their best foot forward to get Alperen Şengün voted into the All Star game. There's a triple vote day yesterday for the NBA voting. Anyway, the president of Turkey retweeted a link to vote Alperen Şengün into the All Star game. Thank you, Turkey. Tip of the cap.
Andrew.
Texas losing in the most heartbreaking way possible.
Bad teammate.
At first, I was just like, oh, I'm excited to see Washington win. But then I saw Texas come back. I saw you get down to, what, the 13-yard line? And the fact that you had four plays to punch it in, couldn't. I'd be lying if that told you that didn't bring a smile to my face.
Andrew Carlson is a horrible person. I hope all the bad things in the world happen.
Surprised he's working on January 6th.
That'll do it.
A couple years ago, he had somewhere to be.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Just saying, FBI.
All right, that'll do it for the bullpen today. We'll be back in 2 weeks. No bullpen next week because of the Aggies basketball. Go Texans. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you, Houston. Have a good afternoon. Go Texans.
ESPN 97.5.
Leroy Jenkins!
Damn it, Leroy.
Leroy, you are just stupid.
At least I have chicken.